today as we come to the table.
Being a believer just means you accept Christ. You've repented of your sins. You've given your life to the Lord. You are now a believer. You're saved. You're going to heaven. There's no other requirement other than confessing your sin, repenting, and receiving Jesus. You are a believer. But the Bible gives very clear guidelines to be a disciple. It's a greater level of commitment. Not every believer is a disciple. Every disciple is a believer. But not every believer is a disciple. How do we know that? Jesus said this, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me.
What does it mean to be a believer and to be filled with the Holy Spirit? In today's message, Pastor Mark explains the simplicity of these truths. He states that to become a Christian, one only needs to admit they're a sinner and believe in Jesus as Savior. The Holy Spirit is in every believer at the moment of salvation. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Many do not experience the power of the Holy Spirit because they have not embraced discipleship. You can become a believer without being discipled. To be a disciple of Christ, one must engage in prayer, study the Bible, and practice daily self-denial. This allows the Holy Spirit to have greater power in your life. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 19, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
When you give your life to the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit. He indwells you. Once you receive Christ, it simply happens. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to wonder if it's going to take place. You are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The other one is where Jesus said, I am with you and I will be in you. Talking to his disciples, the word with is the other work of the Spirit, and that is, it's the word para, P-A-R-A, and it means God is alongside you. Even right now, he's alongside you, helping you understand the Bible as you're being taught. He's alongside you in life as you walk with God and know what direction should I go, Lord, what should I do? The Holy Spirit is there alongside you, working with you. But there's a third work of the Spirit that is used specifically for one thing, and that is power. The power to walk the Christian life and the power to be a witness for God. It is the word EPI, the word epi, and Jesus spoke of it in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 when he said, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you not many days from now. The Holy Spirit will come epi, EPI, and he says, and when that happens, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and the outer reaches of the world. Today we would say, when you have the Spirit come upon you, you will receive power for Knoxville, for all the surrounding United States, and for the outer reaches of the world. That's the idea of what's going on. So again, I believe that's what's happening here. Personally, I wouldn't argue with you about whether or not it's something they could educate him on. By the way, if it was simply an intellectual thing, they're educating him about Christ, it shows us the humility either way of Apollos. Because you've got these brand new believers a year and a half to 2 years in the Lord, and they're going to Apollos saying, hey, I've got some more stuff to share with you about God and or about the Holy Spirit. And we see that Apollos does not say, who do you think you are? I'm this great, learned, you know, mighty, eloquent in speech, you know, educated man from Alexandria, which everyone wishes they could be educated there, and you're telling me something? No, there was no arrogance here. It was, wow, that's great. Show me, speak to me. I love it when you guys come up and share things that God has shown you in the Word of God. Sometimes people will come up to me and they'll say, Pastor Mark, you probably know this. And I'm thinking, just put an X right there right now. No, just what is it you have? I don't know as much as you think I know. And I love to learn and I want to hear, what is God showing you? What has God revealed in the Scriptures? Let's talk or whatever. So it's exciting to me. And we see that Apollos was the same way. He didn't have any problem with them coming up and showing him the way of God more accurately, which again, I think very possibly could have been the empowering of the Spirit that he needed now that he had all these other things. He needed to deliver his message in power. And verse 27, And when he desired to cross over into Achaia, actually, I'll make sure I've done this now three times, make sure I didn't skip anything. So I'll read verse 26 again. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he had desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. And I think with this new power now, he's preaching in power the gospel of God. And says, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. And so now we see Apollos filled with the Spirit, if nothing more than further educated in the Lord, and now doing greater and greater works among the people there that he's traveling to as he takes his missionary journeys as well. Now, again, whether that issue is completely settled either way or not, as far as where Apollos was, whether he'd been empowered at that point or not, we now come to chapter 19 where we see disciples and believers who were loving and walking with the Lord but had not yet been empowered. And that's what we're going to get to in chapter 19. Notice what happens. Chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper region, so Apollos had now traveled over to Corinth, again after leaving Ephesus, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And now Paul comes back. He told them that he would be coming back, and here he comes. And notice this. And finding some disciples. Disciples of who? Disciples of Christ. Again, there would be no other disciples among the church there that Paul had been working with. He finds some disciples, that is of the Lord, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? What an odd question. Notice they're believers and they're disciples. And let me just say this. Being a believer just means you accept Christ. You've repented of your sins. You've given your life to the Lord. You are now a believer. You're saved. You're going to heaven. There's no other requirement other than confessing your sin, repenting, and receiving Jesus. You are a believer. But the Bible gives very clear guidelines to be a disciple. It's a greater level of commitment. Not every believer is a disciple. Every disciple is a believer. But not every believer is a disciple. How do we know that? Jesus said this, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. So it's not just asking forgiveness of your sins and receiving the Lord, there's an aspect of denying self, not living for yourself any longer, and then doing it every single day. That's important. There's an important distinction there. And again, why is that important? Because there may be some of you that challenges. Maybe you thought you were a disciple simply because you're saved, and the Bible says that's not accurate. Maybe you want to be a disciple. If you want to be a disciple, simply add to your believing now to take up your cross and follow the Lord daily. And the Bible says if you do it every day, you're going to be a disciple. And that's how we grow. Every day in the Word, every day in prayer, and you become a disciple. Now, you've got believers in Christ right here who are also disciples. They're not just believers. They're like the next level. They're more committed. They've denied themselves. They're taking up their cross daily and walking. They're the official definition of disciple. And he says to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, if there wasn't something beyond the initial indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Paul would have never asked that question. So you have to understand, Paul looked at their life and said, I see you're believers. I see you're committed. I see you're disciples. But something's missing. There's a power that's not there. Why don't you have the power? And Paul's going to figure out why they don't have this power. Again, because they're going to say, again, they've only been baptized in John, which is, again, John's baptism, which is the baptism of repentance. But again, I want you to note this. There's a different thing that Paul is looking for. Now, let me say this. It doesn't mean that you're not oftentimes filled with the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. There's two different things we see in the New Testament when it comes to being filled with the Spirit. There are those who get filled with the Spirit immediately. And that is when you see Peter, when he went and preached in Cornelius's house in Caesarea, it says that as he gave them the gospel, the Spirit fell upon them, they were saved, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was instantaneous. Some of you in this room, that happened to. And you know that it happened. Some of you in this room that happened to, and you don't know that it happened, and you keep wondering, after all these years, you keep praying for the Spirit to come upon you and nothing changes. You're going, how come I'm not receiving the Holy Spirit like everybody else? I'm praying. God doesn't show favoritism. The promise is to everyone, right? Yes, it is. Then why is it not happening to me like I hear people talk about? Because it already did. Some of you don't even realize when you got saved, you were filled with the Spirit. And the reason you didn't realize it because it just happened immediately and your life changed. You turned from your sin. There was a new boldness in your life. There was a new power in your life. You got a hunger for the word. You had a hunger for prayer. You began sharing the gospel with people around you. You are filled with the Spirit. You didn't have to ask. It just happened. And that's the case for some people. Again, we see that at Peter's house with Cornelius. The reason I bring this up is when I talk for some of you today, we're going to pray that God will come upon you and empower you. Some of you have been praying for years and it hasn't happened because you're not realizing it already did. You just need to be filled on a regular basis as you continue to come back to the Lord. Ephesians 5:18 says, be continually being filled with the Spirit. And what that means is it's something we do on a regular basis. As a disciple, we pray every day, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and God fills us fresh. But there is the initial outpouring of the Spirit that for some of you happened the day you received Christ, and you're still trying to add something to it. There's nothing to add. You were filled with the Spirit. Now you just need to continually be filled. So don't, you know, why isn't it happening to me? I think probably because it already has. Now, there's a second group of believers, and I fell into this category, where it happens later. For me, it happened months later. I knew God. I was a disciple. I was a believer. I was like these guys here in Ephesus. I was going for it, but I didn't have power. I wasn't able to turn from my sin. I wasn't really being a witness. I was scared of everything. It was this whole thing. There was no power in my life. And even once you're filled with the Spirit, even that there can be moments of fear. It's not that all fear leaves, but again, you have no power whatsoever. And so for me, it was months later, someone said, hey, Mark, you're missing something. You look like you don't have power. They said, here's how you get power. I asked for God to give me that power, and God gave it to me. So there are those that receive it the moment they receive Christ. There are those that receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, not just the indwelling, but the ondwelling, a different work of the Spirit. Some receive it later like I did. Now, I don't know why God put it on pause for me. Why did God put it on hold? Maybe because being a pastor, I need to be able to associate with both camps. I need to be able to associate with those of you that the moment you gave your life to the Lord, you were filled with the Spirit. And since that didn't happen to me and it didn't happen to some of you guys, I need to also be able to associate with those of you in here that it happened later and maybe it hasn't even happened yet and might even happen today. Yes, you have the indwelling. You're a believer. But some of you need the ondwelling. Some of you need the EPI. Some of you need the power of the Spirit to come upon you so that you can be strong in the Lord. Again, it's when God came upon me with the Spirit that I received the gift of teaching. It's when God came upon me that I got excited about the Word of God, excited about prayer, excited about things that really didn't excite me up until that point, although I was saved and knew the Lord. There's an empowerment that comes. There's a driving force. It's an energy from God. Again, the ancient saints would call it unction, whatever the case might be. And it doesn't mean you're hyper like me either. It doesn't mean, okay, if I receive the Spirit, I'm going to be hyper. I don't want to be hyper. You know, no, it doesn't mean that. You're still going to be you. You're going to be your same person, but with a new power. Again, remember, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, right? Not like a pterodactyl. We've talked about that. Sometimes you think that, right? You see people and think, something landed on him. That wasn't God. You know, what was that? No, he comes like a dove, but then he fills you with power. Power. There's an anointing. There's an ability to do things for Christ you could never do before. It doesn't mean you'll be a teacher. It doesn't mean any of that. God gives different gifts. But whatever gift he gives, you're going to be able to do that gift. And that's what happens in this. And that's what Paul's saying. Look, something's missing here, guys. You're true believers in Christ. You're even disciples. But you're missing something. And now Paul says this. Paul said to them, he said, did you receive when you believe? They said, well, we have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Now, we know they knew about the Holy Spirit because the church was well established in Ephesus. And there were teachers there. Aquila and Priscilla had been there. Paul had now on a second journey. So they're not saying they've never heard of the Holy Spirit. What they're saying is, we didn't know that there was something additional that we needed when it came to the Holy Spirit. We thought this was kind of it. And so he said, so then he asked him a logical question. He goes, well, wait a minute. Then what were you into what were you baptized? What baptism did you guys, you know, what, tell me about your spiritual walk and what's going on here? And they said, well, into John's baptism. And no doubt a light went on in John's baptism. You guys, you've repented and you did the water baptism, but you've never asked God in the name of Jesus as you were baptized in the name of Jesus, which you need to be done now. And you also need to ask God to come upon you and fill you with the Holy Spirit. And so Paul gets it. Notice what he says in verse 4. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance. saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Again, that's what Apollos was teaching, believe on Christ Jesus. That's what these guys were saying, believe on Christ Jesus. He goes, you've got that down, you're doing like just like John did. John said, somebody's coming after me. He said, now we know it's Jesus, so you got baptized in that, you're preaching that. However, you need to now be baptized in the name of the Lord and receive power. So look at this, verse 5. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So not just John, but now Jesus' baptism. And by the way, just stop right there. Imagine if this was the end of the chapter. Let me ask you this. If this is the end of the chapter, would they be saved and going to heaven? Yes. They're believers. They're disciples. They've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, we're not done. We're not done. There's another verse we have to have, guys. He probably didn't say it that way. But look at verse 6. After that took place, when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came epi. Epi, that third work of the Holy Spirit, he came upon them. That's for power. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, not everyone speaks in tongues and prophesies when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. There are many different gifts. And some of the gifts seem to freak people out. Listen, if certain gifts freak you out, you're very normal. Moses had the same struggle. When God called Moses, it was a very supernatural event. Listen, don't be afraid of the supernatural. Moses hears the voice of God. He goes there to a fire speaking to him, this burning bush, a fire's coming out, and it starts talking to him. Now, that's a little bit unnerving initially, wouldn't you think? And all of a sudden, he says, look, I'm going to send you down to Pharaoh. One of the gods they worship is a serpent, so I'm going to show that my power is greater than their gods. And I'm going to show you I'm going to do it. Throw your rod down. He throws the rod down. God makes it become a serpent, probably a cobra, because that was kind of the symbol of the Egyptian pharaohs. Well, he's no dummy. He knows what a cobra can do. He was raised in Egypt. He freaks out. He sees the cobra. And what is the first thing that Moses did when he saw the supernatural power of God? He ran from it. He ran. The Bible says he took off running. And God said, whoa, 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 whoa. Now I'm adding to it. God didn't say it that way. Slow, Mo. I know, that means Solomon. Come back. He said, come back. Where are you going? Moses comes back, no doubt very gingerly, and I love what God says. God says, now pick it up by the tail. Now, it would be scary picking it up by the neck, but you also think about if you get it by the tail, could that thing whip around? There's all kinds of things. God is saying, learn to trust me in the things of the supernatural. This is me. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to do something to you to make you look foolish. I'm not going to do something to you to make you afraid or make you whatever. I'm trying to give you more tools for ministry. You're going to have to go out in my name. You're going to need power, and you're going to need tools to do the ministry. So God gives the gifts. It's almost like God's toolbox that we use. Imagine going to build a house but not having any tools with you. God says, here's the toolbox. Now you have the power to build the house. Go and do the work of the Lord. Do the work of the ministry. Some of you, you're afraid of the gifts. You've been afraid of the work of the Spirit. Even as I've been mentioning this, and especially when I first said the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I brought something, although that's very biblical, it's a biblical phrase. Even though it's a biblical phrase, it comes with so much of a picture of what we've seen in the South and other places where maybe it's not been presented the right way that sometimes, no pun intended, we recoil, right? And so we back away from that. Some of you, maybe the moment I brought it up, you kind of backed away and said, well, okay, Mark's talking about this and I don't really know what I think about it. And we'll be done with his teaching and he'll go on and probably won't come up for another 6 months till we come to another place in scripture where it's mentioned, I can survive that. Let's just get through this. Here's what God's saying if that's you. Stop running. Stop being a Moses. Receive the power. Don't be afraid of the supernatural that God is doing. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, if you being evil, that is, if you having the sin nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, if you don't have to ask for the indwelling, which you don't, then what did he say we need to be asking for? We're asking for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying is, don't be afraid to ask. The Father will give it and simply receive it. Now, some of you are already, again, we talked about it, I'll say it more than once in this teaching, and we're almost done, but that is, yeah, but I have been asking, it's never happened. No, it may have already. So this may have happened years ago when you first gave your life to Christ. You just need to be filled fresh. But for some of you that say, I've never had that power, this could be the first time. Now, notice what happens here. He does this, He lays hands on them. They have this, and again, not everyone receives these different gifts. It says in 1 Corinthians 12 that God gives the gifts as he chooses. Not everyone receives them all. And God will give you whatever gift you want. I was given a gift of teaching. God will give you whatever gift he wants you to have. But notice this, lastly, it says, and the men who were there were about 12 in all. I find that interesting. Why would the Holy Spirit point out that it was 12 guys? You would think, and the guys there, you know, they received the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit saw fit to write in this verse that it was 12. Why do you think he did that? The number 12 in Scripture is the number that represents being governed by God. And there's a picture the Holy Spirit is giving us here. He's saying, look, if you will open up to everything I have in your life, supernatural and natural, and allow me to fill you with the Spirit and come upon you and empower you, then I can govern your life. You'll be governed by me. You'll be led by me. You'll be directed by me. And I can use you in much greater ways in ministry. And that is what God wants for each of us. Now, again, as we end, I want to repeat this. Don't get upset because you prayed for years and it didn't happen to you. And I just say it because people say that. The Holy Spirit you feel didn't come upon you. As I said, it may very well be that happened for you without asking. God says to ask, but we see in Scripture, sometimes God just does it. I don't know why for some people, he just does it, and for others, he doesn't. Again, when I gave my life to Christ, he didn't just do that in my life. It came quite a while later. But if God has done that, relax. You are walking. That is, if you've ever experienced boldness, power, a desire for God's word and prayer, you've probably been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Enjoy that and walk in it. But here's what I would say to you. Ask God to fill you fresh today in a new way. Be continually being filled, Ephesians 5:18. And I'm going to pray for all of us that have been filled to have that freshness today. But some of you are saying, this has never happened to me. I've never had boldness. I've never had a desire for the word. I've never had a desire for prayer. I mean, some, but not really. I've never really had a desire to serve at all in ministry. If you've never had any of those things, you probably have never been, I would say almost certainly never been filled with the Holy Spirit, because that is a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. A new power comes into your life, and now a new desire to serve God comes into your life. So if you're in that place, I want to pray for you also to maybe for the first time today receive the empowering of the Spirit and give God an opportunity to do that. So as we finish, to do that for all of us, let's allow God to minister and pour out his Spirit. Don't be afraid. Nobody's going to get weird on you. I'm not going to get weird. Listen, the Bible says everything is to be done decently and in order. And there's two words there. Decently and in order. Well, everything's to be done decently and in order. The problem oftentimes in the church is everything is done, but there's no order. It's chaos. He didn't say that. He didn't stop and say, do everything. He went on and said, everything is done decently and in order. That is, the Spirit can move, the gifts can flow, but there's a proper way it's to be done, which is laid out in 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, and when you do it the right way, it draws people to Christ rather than driving them away. And it gives people confidence and joy rather than fear and disillusionment. And I want to pray now for that confidence and joy and that rest as the sweet power of the Spirit descends like a dove upon those who want that to happen. Then let's pray. Father, I want to pray right now for those of us in here, first of all, who know you, whether we were filled by the Holy Spirit at salvation and didn't even realize it. We had the indwelling, but also the ondwelling at that very moment. Maybe we've been waiting and wondering why that's not happening to us, when indeed it already has. We were given boldness. We were given power. We were given gifts.
You've been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching through the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells the incredible story of how the early church was empowered by the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel throughout the world. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries in history, was transformed by God's grace and used mightily to preach the gospel. Yet, Paul constantly reminded believers that everything was done by God's power, not his own. He didn't rely on persuasive words or human wisdom. He simply proclaimed the truth, and the Holy Spirit opened hearts and changed lives. Where do you need the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life today? We'd be happy to speak with you or connect with you through our website. You can call us at 865-609-1385. Again, that phone number is 865-609-1385. You can also visit our website, thewaymedia.net. and use our questions and comments link to reach out. Want to hear this message again? You can easily download the Way Media app. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville, and we hope you've been encouraged by this time in the book of Acts. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to have you join us on a Sunday morning. TheWayMedia.net has all the information you need about service times and location. We look forward to meeting you. Please join us again next time as Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Acts here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary, Knoxville.